Welcome back to the FQT podcast. I'm your host, Heather Anderson. Today, I'm joined by Lottie Brinks, who set the overall Zion Crossings FKT, completing the 37-mile route supported in 5 hours and 22 minutes. Lottie, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I'm excited to chat with you.
Thanks for having me.
So my first question is, could you just tell our listeners a little bit about the route that you set an FKT on? Maybe just describe what the route is, where it's at, start and end, just kind of an overview for everyone.
Yeah, so the route that I did is the Zion Crossing. It used to be called the Zion Traverse up until 2019. So it used to actually be a little bit longer. The route I did was 37 miles long. It used to be, I think, 45, but there was a rock fall in 2019 that kind of cut off the last few miles of the route to climb back out of the canyon. So the route I did was 37 miles through the Zion National Park. I did it west to east, and it was incredible. I already want to do it again. I need someone to snag my time from me so I can go back just to run the route again, because it's so beautiful.
Yeah, Zion is a really magical, beautiful place. And actually, that kind of segues into my next question. And maybe this is because of that rock slide, but it seems like there's really very few FKTs on this route. I think the Zion Traverse had more. Why do you think that people aren't out going and doing that? Do you think it's just because of the rock slide, or is it just not known? It seems like such a beautiful classic route.
Yeah, I think, maybe people are intimidated by the rock slide, but it almost makes it easier because you finish in the grotto, which is technically pretty easy to access. I was honestly kind of surprised about how little traffic there has been on the new route, because the old route, the original one, had a lot of big names going and like taking a shot at it. And that's kind of what brought it up to me. I was kind of looking for the bigger FKTs that are within drivable distance from Boise, where I live. And the Zion Traverse came up, and then I got really excited about it. And then I figured out, oh no, there's a rock slide. And then I almost kind of wrote it off because I'm like, oh, this, I can't do this route anymore. But then I like looked at it a little bit closer, and I talked to a few people who have done it. And yeah, the first 37 miles of that route, which is like almost a perfect 60K, is still perfectly passable and beautiful. And you still get like all the amazing parts of just running essentially like in the creek beds, climbing out of them, being on top of the canyons, dropping back in. I can only recommend it. And I hope more people go for it again.
So you mentioned you were looking for FKTs within driving distance of where you live. What were the other contenders, and why did you end up choosing this one?
There were not really many other contenders that were doable at this time of year. So I went for it on February 15th. A lot of the FKTs that sounded like fun and competitive to me, they had snow on them.
Right.
So I was trying to find something that I could drive to, something that would not be snowed in at this time of year. And also something that was not like long, but not terribly long. And the Zion Crossing just perfectly fit that. Like, it was a great kind of rust buster to kind of get a really like hard effort in at the beginning of the year, but also not like a multi-day or 100 plus miles sort of effort. And that was exactly what I was looking for. I was looking for something where I can really kind of test my endurance, but also taste my leg speed and kind of just have a day out there, and also something that's easy to support, which that's a whole lot of story, the whole supported part of this. But yeah, those are kind of my criteria.
Yeah. So speaking of support, it sounded like you were anticipating seeing your crew a couple of different times on this, and that didn't quite work out. Can you tell us about your supported / unsupported FKT?
So for anyone who wants to try this FKT, it is easy to support. There are a couple access points that crew could go to. However, my crew was just running a little bit behind. There was not really like, there are at least two spots where crew can go to and they can, that you can get dropped off at the start and be picked up at the finish. What happened to me is that for the first stop, I was just a little bit ahead of schedule. So my crew was just running behind and they couldn't get to me. And at the second spot that we had planned, I was there on time, but there was a gate that was closed. So my husband had to ride his bike to the spot that we were supposed to meet at. And he didn't quite make it in time because even though there was very little snow, there was still snow. And anyone who's ever ridden a bike in snow knows that it's pretty slow going. So
yeah,
he did end up like in between those two. He just like saw me running by. He came into the woods and spot that we hadn't planned. So I did submit it as supported, even though I didn't actually grab anything from him, which was a mistake in hindsight. But yeah, technically it is not hard to support. So anyone who is like thinking about doing this, you can do it supported. But yeah, regardless, it would also be, it's clearly you can also do it unsupported. So long story short, whenever people want to do it, it's doable.
So I have two follow-up questions from that. So the first one is, how far apart were these crew access points? How frequently did you anticipate seeing your crew?
The first one was at mile 13, and the second was at mile 20, I think. And the spot where my husband did end up seeing me was at like mile 18 or something. And that's also why I didn't grab water from him, because I'm like, oh, I'm about to see you in 2 miles, which I didn't end up seeing him again. But so there is like, I forget the trailhead names. I think it's like Hop Valley and Lava Point are the two trailheads that you can drive to. And along those two is a road. And from that road, you can pretty easily pop on the trail. So between mile 13 and mile 20, that's the best spot for crew to support if they get there on time.
If they get there on time. Did you have enough? It sounds like maybe it was a little tough. Did you have enough fuel and hydration to do this entire route without seeing your crew? How did that end up playing out? Because I feel like I would not take enough for the entire run if I think I'm going to see people twice.
I had enough gels on me because I brought some emergency gels just in case. The bigger problem was water. It would have been nice to get fresh bottles of water at least the mile 20 spot. I just ended up rationing what I had left for the rest of the route. And it thankfully wasn't a super hot day. It was overcast. It was really perfect running weather. So I got lucky that it was cool enough out that I didn't quite need as much hydration. But for anyone who does it unsupported, I would absolutely recommend bringing multiple liters of water. Unfortunately, you're not supposed to drink the water in the creeks there, even filtered, because there is some sort of bacteria present. I forget what the bacteria is called, but yeah, you're not supposed to drink the water in Zion.
Oh, huh. I feel like I have. Well, I'm still alive, so it's fine.
I mean, who knows? It's just like on the national parks site that you're not supposed to drink it. I'm sure people have, and they're still alive. So
you do mention the weather. What was the weather like?
It did get up to maybe like 60-ish degrees, 65 degrees. I finished at just before 1 p.m. So it was not super hot. Like it only, like the high of the day was later. Like in the afternoon, I started at just after 7, like 7:15-ish, I think. And it was cool to start. I just ran in like a t-shirt and shorts and was a little chilly to start out. And then it got warm, but not like crazy hot.
And is that typical, like weather-wise, for that area at this time of year? Or was this sort of a lucky February weather window?
It was a lucky window. I think this is the earliest this route has ever been run, as far as I know. Because usually at this time of year, there is snow up high. This route goes up to just above 7,000 feet in elevation or in altitude. So, and I did run into a little bit of snow, but not much. It was more so just really muddy for me. But yeah, usually in February, you can't really run this route because of the snow. And it did, I timed it right because that day that we were leaving, so I did the SKT on Sunday and we left on Monday. On Tuesday, a big snowstorm hit and the whole like high portions of the route got covered in snow. So I picked the perfect day for it. Yeah.
And did you know in advance that that storm was coming? Were you planning your attempt to get there before that?
I knew that something was coming and I kept kind of like looking at the radar. I was more so worried about rain because I didn't think it would get cold enough for snow at first. And I was more so worried about rain and mud. And I checked with the national park just to make sure that like I can still run on the trails, that they're not like, you know, closed off because there's mud or something, and that they're all open. And they said they're fine. So I went for it, and it was muddy for me, but it wasn't snowy, and I could run through all of it.
Okay. Yeah. So I'd like to hear a little bit more about the trail conditions. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you encountered mud and a little bit of snow, but overall, what is the trail like? Is it, you know, well-trodden single track? Is it rocky? Are you fording a lot of creeks? What is the actual nature of what's underfoot?
It's fun because it's very, like, varied, I guess. The first bit is very sandy. There's a lot, like, it almost feels like you're running on a beach.
Mm-hmm.
There's a ton of sand. And you do run in a creek bed for a good bit in the beginning. And there are a lot of creek crossings. Like your feet are wet within the first mile, which is, I don't mind wet feet. A lot of people don't like it. I kind of like splashing through puddles. So I didn't mind it. But yeah, the first bit is very, like, lots of creek crossings. You run in a creek bed, lots of sand. And then as you climb out of it, out of like the where you're running in the creeks, it gets really rocky. And it's like a very technical climb to get out. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of get into the section where you could get aid, like between miles 13 and 20 is where it got a good, pretty muddy. That's the high elevation section too. Like you're at above 7,000 feet. There's a little bit of snow. There was mud. And then after that, you kind of run along this ridge line, which is just incredible because you can see, you like kind of look in down into Zion. And they're just like all these canyons coming up on the sides of you. And it's just so pretty. And it's like exposed. You're like on top. That was still pretty wet, but not muddy for me. And then as you drop down in the very end, it's like a 5-6 mile thundering descent into the canyon. And that is super fun because it's like somewhat techy, somewhat exposed, like big drop-offs. But you just like, it's just so, I don't know, majestic. I don't know how to describe
it.
Like the canyons, it's just the prominence of them is just crazy. And then it's just a beautiful red color in you. And it's just like you feel so little in these canyons that you're such a tiny human. And yeah, and then like the last maybe 2 or 3 miles, it's kind of funny because I saw like this, I don't know, mangled human. Like I looked like a wild woman with just completely covered and caked and salt, like mud covered. And I run down the Grotto Trail, which is a pretty popular trail for tourists who are going to Zion. And they're all out on their nice and casual Sunday Zion stroll. And I'm just like sprinting down on this trail. And it was just funny. Everyone was super friendly and just like cheering. But I felt like I was a crazy person. But it was lovely and funny. And everyone was just like wondering what was happening what I was doing, but also everyone started cheering, and it was just like a fun kind of finish line moment, I guess.
We don't know what's happening, but she looks pretty hardcore, so we're going to cheer.
That's how it was.
So aside from, you know, your Grotto Trail cheering squad, did you see anybody else out there?
Not really. There was one, I saw one person in like, I don't know, around probably my like 21, 22 or something, who seemed like he was just on a multi-day hike with tent and sleeping bag and all of that. But that was the only person I saw. Other than that, I had most of Sina to myself.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, I loved it.
So we've talked a little bit about the trail conditions, but what's the navigation like? Was it pretty easy to follow, or did you have to pay close attention to your GPS or whatever? Was everything clearly marked?
I had the map on my watch, and I do think that that was pretty crucial. Just, I mean, maybe more so for peace of mind. But especially in the first bit and the last bit, I think are maybe a little bit confusing, because in the first, I want to say like maybe 10 miles, you have those creek crossings and you'll run in a creek bed, and it doesn't really, it like, you're kind of like debating, is this a trail or is this just a creek bed? I don't know. So it's kind of nice to have the peace of mind of a route on your watch that, yes, I am actually on the trail. This is correct. And the trail kind of is a little bit overgrown, but then it comes back, and then you cross a creek and you have to know which, like, there are like just a couple like deer paths too. So it's nice to have a map. I would definitely recommend putting it on your watch. Just most of it for peace of mind. Like at the end of the day, most of it is a straight line, but I think it's really helpful to have. And then towards the end, I think it's just good to have a map on your watch, mostly because in the end, there are a couple different options to get down into the valley. And it gets a little confusing because people are walking up from all kinds of ways. And you're also so deep in your effort that it's kind of nice to just be able to check quickly that you're still on the right track, and not accidentally going down like a different trail. Because towards the end, dropping down the canyon, they're just like people, and you don't just want to blindly follow someone because it might not be the actual trail.
Yeah, that makes sense. I feel like the closer you get to trailheads or campgrounds, the more confusing things often get.
Exactly. And it was, I mean, I didn't get lost at all. So it wasn't hard to navigate. I think it's more so like, I just like had to, like sometimes I got a little confused and I checked and was like, okay, good. I'm still on the right track. So I don't think it's a hard route to navigate. I just think it's advantageous to have a map on your watch.
When I was researching this, I was looking at our website. To me, it looks like you have the fastest overall time for male, female, supported, unsupported, everything. So can you talk about what your goals were going into this? If that was your intent, you set the FKT, so I presume you're happy with your performance. Can you just tell me a little bit about what you were hoping for when you went into this and how that actually compares to what happened in reality?
Yeah, the goal was to just get a hard, long effort in. And I wanted the FKT, and I felt pretty confident that I can get the overall FKT. I wasn't entirely sure how fast I could go because I didn't know, like, there was a chance that there was a foot of snow on the route and that I had to post hole for a couple miles. But thankfully, that wasn't the case. I did look at the splits from the original route. There were some really great times that Claire Gallagher and Joel Vaught posted that I was kind of basing my effort off, to just kind of get an idea also for my crew when I'll be at the right places.
Right.
And then I just kind of went for it. I didn't really look at my watch other than for navigation reasons. So it was mostly like based on feel and effort, but I was definitely trying hard. I did want to go under 6 hours. It was kind of like the loose goal. And yeah. And then it was like really fun in the very end to just like because it's just always fun to end on a descent. And it was fun to just like try and run fast the last couple of miles.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, you were successful. You took a lot of time off of the previous records. So congratulations on that. Is there anything else you'd like to share about the experience or any tips for people who might want to go out and explore this that you haven't shared or that I haven't asked?
When you finish, and that is a mistake I made, I had planned that my husband would pick me up at the finish, but Zion is a very popular national park, so they limit the amount of cars that can go into the park, which means that my husband was never actually able to pick me up because the line of cars was so long. So he had to stay outside of the park. And this early in the year, so usually they have a really great shuttle system that people can take. However, it wasn't running this early in the year. So I had to add a few miles to run out of the park in the very end. Usually that shouldn't be a problem because they have, a really great shuttle system that is free. People can just hop on and get out of the park. That is just something to be aware of, that if anyone decides to do this as an early season FKT, just be aware that the shuttles might not be running and that you might have to either have someone pick you up and sit in line for a while, or that you might have to add another 6 miles to your run in the very end. So that's just an
6 miles.
Yes.
Okay. But you were able to get some water or something before you had to do that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. At the trailhead was that there's like a bathroom and a faucet and there are people. So you're back in civilization.
Okay, good, good. I'm glad you didn't have to continue going without water, at least.
And it's a flat road and it's, I was taking my time.
Yeah, I feel like if that happened to me, that 6 miles would probably take as long as the previous whole run. I would just be walking so slowly at that point.
Again, I can only recommend this route. It's incredibly beautiful. It's just a very interesting just like trail, and the terrain is just incredible. It's very fun to, it's like a different experience than what you would get in other trails, that you have like these sandy bits, like good, like rocky technical segments, and you have some other things that you can deal. It's just like very like mentally stimulating. There's a lot happening and it's incredibly beautiful. It's easy to access. So yeah, I can only recommend it. And I really hope more people go for it because it's truly such an incredible route.
Yeah, we've definitely got me sold. I'm going to have to check it out. Thanks again, Lottie, for coming on the show. You can read about her FKT on the website, fastestknowntime.com, and follow her adventures on Instagram at Lottie_Brinks.